Those who respond to such inspired calls are affected in powerful ways. As they get a vision of Zion and begin to help build the kingdom of God, an amazing thing happens to them. This is illustrated beautifully in the following story told by Elder Jeffrey R. Holland. The brethren used to announce at General Conference the names of those who had been called on missions. Not only was this the way friends and neighbors learned of the call, but more often than not, it was the way the missionary learned of it as well. One such prospect was Eli H. Pierce. A railroad man by trade, he had not been very faithful in the church. His mind had been given totally to what he demurely called temporalities. He said he never had read more than a few pages of Scripture in his life, that he had spoken only once in a public gathering, an effort that he said was no credit to himself or those who heard him. And he used the vernacular of the railroad and the barroom with the finesse born of long practice. He bought cigars wholesale, 1,000 at a time, and he regularly lost his paycheck playing pool. Well, the Lord knew what Eli Pierce was, and he knew something else. He knew what Eli Pierce could become. When the call came that October 5th, 1875, Eli wasn't even in the tabernacle. He was out working on one of the railroad lines. A fellow employee, once he had recovered from the shock of it all, ran out to telegraph the startling news. Brother Pierce writes, "At the very moment this intelligence was being flashed over the wires, I was sitting lazily thrown back in an office rocking chair, my feet on the desk, reading a novel, and simultaneously sucking on an old Dutch pipe just to vary the monotony of cigar smoking. As soon as I had been informed of what had taken place, I threw the novel in the wastebasket, the pipe in the corner, and have never touched either to this hour. I sent in my resignation to the railroad to take effect at once in order that I might have time for study and preparation. I then started into town to buy scriptures." Then Eli wrote these stirring words. "Remarkable as it may seem, and it has since appeared to me, a thought of disregarding the call or of refusing to comply with the requirement never once entered my mind. The only question I asked, and I asked it 1,000 times, was, how can I accomplish this mission? How can I, who am so shamefully ignorant and untaught in doctrine, do honor to God and justice to the souls of men, and merit the trust reposed in me by the priesthood?" With such genuine humility fostering resolution rather than defeating it, Eli Pierce fulfilled a remarkable mission. His journey could appropriately close on a completely renovated life with this one line. "Throughout our entire mission, we were greatly blessed." But Elder Holland goes on to say, "But I add one experience to make the point. During the course of his missionary service, Brother Pierce was called in to administer to the infant child of a branch president whom he knew and loved. Unfortunately, the wife of the branch president had become embittered and now seriously objected to any religious activity within the home, including a blessing for this dying child. With the mother refusing to leave the bedside and the child too ill to move, the humble branch president with his missionary friend Eli retired to a small upper room in the house to pray for the baby's life. The mother, suspecting just such an act, sent one of the older children to observe and report back. There in that secluded chamber, the two men knelt and prayed fervently until, in Brother Pierce's own words, we felt that the child would live and knew that our prayers had been heard. Arising from their knees, they turned slowly only to see the young girl standing in the partially open doorway, gazing intently into the room. She seemed, however, quite oblivious to the movements of the two men. She stood in trance for some seconds, her eyes immovable. Then she said, 'Papa, who was that man in there?' Her father said, 'That is Brother Pierce. You know him.' 'No,' she said matter-of-factly, 'I mean the other man.' 'There was no other, darling, except Brother Pierce and myself. We were praying for the baby.' 'Oh, there was another man,' the child insisted, 'for I saw him standing above you and Brother Pierce, and he was dressed in white.' Now if God in his heavens will do that for a repentant, old, cigar-smoking, inactive, stern, swearing pool player, don't you think he'll do it for you? He will if your resolve is as deep and permanent as Eli Pierce's. In the church we ask for faith, not infallibility. That's the conclusion of Elder Holland's story. The Lord is watching us, and he uses his church as an instrument to hone us, develop us, and perfect us. He has given us special gifts in mortality, and if we exercise and magnify those gifts, he will give us more and more. If we're willing to do things outside our comfort zones, opening ourselves to new experiences, we learn new dimensions of our nature. We learn that we have enormous capacity. Ultimately, we will learn that we have the capacity of God the Eternal Father because we are literally his children.